Genesis chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse 6. Really familiar, narrative today, but we're going to go where the Lord has led us this morning. Amen. Genesis chapter 8, verse 6. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him and to the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Amen. We're going to bless the show far. Amen. We want you to give praise. Amen. For the Lord today, call on and bless him. Thought that he was going to take me in one direction, but then of course, amen, just as statistically he is very well at doing, he took me in a different direction. But I mentioned, amen, the threshold last week when I talked about the story of the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Dagon, when that, amen, Dagon fell, and amen, the arms and the head were destroyed off the body, and all was left of the idol was the torso, amen, that there was a threshold that was there made, amen, and the priests and all that went into the house of Dagon never crossed that threshold again, because on the other side of that threshold, it belonged to Yahweh, it belonged to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen, but we know, amen, that a threshold is the physical sill of a doorway, amen. We know that in a doorway as you go through, amen, that is considered the threshold. But threshold is also a point of entry or a beginning. It also refers to the critical limit or level where a reaction, process, or state of being changes or begins to take effect, such as a pain threshold or a tax threshold. So it is a place where there it is a critical limit or level when there is something that, amen, can only go that far, or it changes or it begins to take effect. In the scripture, we see that the threshold of the temple marked the division between the common world and the sacred presence of God. So at the threshold of the temple, as we see in the Old Testament, it marked when they cross over that threshold, amen, the world was left, the common, amen, aspect of man, the world was left on this side, and on the other side was the sacred presence of God. This is why only the priests who were consecrated for service were permitted to cross that threshold, amen. So Jesus literally became the ultimate threshold when he declared that I am the door, and if you enter by me, you will be saved. Amen. So he began, amen, became the ultimate threshold. He is that transition from the old life, amen, into a life of salvation. He is the beginning of restoration, and he is the end of decay. Sin took man as far as God would permit, and then he decided, amen, there needed to be a man of redeemer. And Jesus became that threshold between the old man and the new man, between the old covenant and the new covenant, if you will. Amen. So he said, I am that door. So the only way, amen, to salvation is through Jesus. And he is the beginning of restoration. Look at your neighbor and say, he is the beginning. Amen. When we, amen, get in him, restoration just begins. Praise God. But we see this conception in Genesis 8 with the story of Noah and the ark. Amen. Real familiar story. If you have been in church any length of time, you have heard about Noah and the ark. Amen. They were singing that song this morning during worship practice. Amen. That we used to sing. Amen. In VBS and in Sunday school. Amen. The Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Get yourself into the ark. Amen. Praise God. And so we know that story is very familiar. Amen. We know that the flood came as, amen, heavy rains. And they lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But after 150 days, amen, of being in the ark, the waters began to subside. And the Bible tells us that the ark of Noah rested on the mountains of Ararat. Amen, there on the mountains. And then it was about 371 days from the start of the rain before the flood, amen, subsided and the earth was dry enough for Noah and his family to exit. So it was over a period of a year, amen, we understand that Noah was in the ark. And after that period of time, he was able to exit. But before that time came, the Bible says, and I read to you that Noah opened the only window in the ark. He opened the one and only window that was in the ark. And the Bible says that he sent out a raven. And the Bible tells us, as we read to you, that that raven went to and fro. Amen. Praise God. Until the waters dry up. But we know that the raven did not return. Amen. That Noah released the raven. And that raven, amen, flew back and forth until the waters dried up. After this, the Bible tells us, as we read to you, that Noah sent out a dove. And that dove returned because it found no place to rest. And the Bible says, amen, that Noah brought her back into the ark. So he brought that dove back into the ark, and then he waited 7 days and he sent her back out. And the Bible tells us, amen, that the dove, she returned with a freshly plucked olive leaf. Amen. And the Bible says that Noah knew then that the water had cleared. Are you with me? And then he waited another 7 days and he sent her out again, and that dove never returned. This is when God said to Noah, now is the time for you and your family to exit the ark. You see, I believe this order is significant as I see it this morning. You see, Noah didn't choose, amen, these birds at random. He didn't just randomly choose. I don't believe, amen, as I see it, as the Lord has, amen, laid this message on my heart. I don't believe that he chose the birds at random. Amen. You see, I don't think that it's a contrast between good and bad creatures. You often hear it taught. You often hear it preached. And we, amen, have made reference, amen, to the difference in the raven and the dove. Amen. With the focus of being, amen, exclusively on the dove. That I don't think that it's necessarily a contrast between good and bad creatures. You see, we know that ravens are known as hardy scavengers. Ravens could survive on dead remains and floating debris. So imagine what was floating in the floodwaters. Amen. As the raven was going to and fro, flying back and forth, amen, until the waters dried up. The raven could have lived off of the dead bodies and the things that was possibly in the flood waters. Amen. He could have survived. You see, ravens don't require clean ground, amen, or growing plants. They don't require this to thrive or to survive. If any bird could have endured a world that was unsettled and marked by judgment, it would have been the raven. And sending the raven first was practical. See, it tested if life could persist outside of the ark at all. Noah did not know what was going on the outside. He had no idea what the outside world looked like. All he knew is that he had been in the ark for hundreds of days. As the rain began to fall and the waters began to raise the ark, and it rested on the top of the mountains of Ararat. One window Noah never opened until he released the raven. So Noah had no idea what it looked like on the outside. But you see, that raven, amen, was going to be a test that if life was able to persist outside of the ark at all, it wasn't whether the earth had been restored, but rather if it was no longer hostile. This was the important element of Noah's purpose in releasing the raven. See, the raven didn't need the world to be healed. It only needed enough to survive. Amen. It did not need the world to be completely restored, because remember, the raven could live off of dead things. The raven didn't need fresh plants, didn't need good ground and good soil for plants to grow and produce fruit and things that would nourish it. Amen. So, amen, he did not need the world to be healed. It just needed to be good enough to survive. This explains why the raven never came back. Because the raven was able to survive in the current condition that the world was in. I need you to stay with me. I'm only laying a foundation. See, the scripture doesn't tell us that the raven failed or disobeyed. It simply tells us he went to and fro. Because you see, the ark was no longer its place of refuge. Now it could land, it could feed, and it could move again, even while the earth was still unstable and incomplete. So it was enough, amen, on the outside. The condition was enough that the raven was just happy to be free. Imagine being cooped up, amen, in that ark for all of those months and all of those days and weeks. He was just, amen, glad to be out and to be free. So he saw what he saw, and he knew that he could survive even though it was unstable. Survival was possible even if restoration wasn't. Can I tell you that God did not allow Jesus to die and give his life and then, amen, sacrifice, amen, his place in heaven for us as covenant believers to be mere survivors? Too long we've been content with the circumstances. Somebody help me in this place. Too long we've been content with the purpose. Jesus said, I came to give life. Not just enough to say you're living, but I came to give life enough to say you're free. And if you're free, then you are indeed mode. It will entice you into a place where you are comfortable with just enough to get by. But Jesus paid the price for abundant life. And abundant life is what belongs to his people. Are you hearing me today? But the devil tells a different story. See, doves aren't scavengers. They require stable ground, vegetation. They require safe places to rest. See, it returned empty the first time. Not because nothing had changed. We'll get back next Sunday. The Bible calls the dove she. Not it, but she. She returned empty, but not because nothing had changed, but because not enough had changed. See, you've got to get to the place in the promised covenant that where it's not enough. I'm not talking about God, but I'm talking about what God has promised, the conditions, the circumstances, where you are, the will of God in your life. It's not enough where it is. Are you hearing me? See, the earth was exposed. The Bible says that the tops of the mountains became visible. So the earth was exposed, but it was not. Why do we compromise? Why do we stay in survival mode? When it returned the second time with the olive leaf, this was the sign that it meant something shifted. Touch somebody and say, something's shifting. Oh, come on. You ain't getting that in your belly. I'm not talking about saying it. Amen. Praise God, because I said say it. Hallelujah. Something is shifting. See, when she came back with that freshly plucked olive leaf, that meant not only the mountaintops were exposed, but somewhere there in the midst of disaster, chaos, judgment, amen, hostility, dreary, dark circumstances, flood waters, dead things floating around. There was an olive tree that had grown and bloomed, amen, to where the dove could go down a little bit further and pluck it off, because now something has shifted. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Vegetation now had begun to grow again. We've been talking about the wilderness, and we've been teaching on the wilderness on Sunday mornings. The wilderness is not a fun place to be, but can I tell you, it is a necessary place, amen, to be. But oh, he leads me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid of what lurks around the corner, because I hide under the shadow of the Almighty. It doesn't matter what the animals are lurking over the cliff of the rock. He is my refuge. He is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Vegetation had begun to grow again. The world was no longer just emerging from judgment. It was beginning to recover. Yeah. I want you to get a picture of that today. It was no longer just emerging from judgment, but it was beginning to recover. And Noah waited another 7 days You see, God's a God of patterns. Look at the whole 40 days. Amen. It's a time, we see it, it's a time of testing. We see it all. He's a God of patterns. Why does he do that? Amen. I don't know why he does it, but he does it. And if you understand it, amen, then you can understand, amen, that he's faithful. Because when you see it throughout Scripture, you see the end result of the 40 days of testing. You see the end result of the number 7. Somehow in God's, amen, a mind that is way far beyond what we are able to comprehend. 7 is his favorite number. And it's a number of completion. We see it as a number that it is finished. Amen. So Noah waited 7 days before he sent the dove out the second time. And then she came back with the olive leaf. And he knew, amen, now that the earth is beginning to recover. Then he waited another 7 days by the leading of God, by the intelligence of the Most High. Come on, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Somehow Noah kept track inside that dark ark. Amen. Where there was no light, nothing penetrated, only that little window. Amen. I've said it before, but can you imagine the temptation? You know how it is when somebody tells you, now you have access to the whole house, but you cannot go in that room. Do not open that door. Tell a little child, do not open that door. And what's the first thing they're going to want to do? They're going to sit there and think, what's behind that door? Why can't I open that door? Just to let me peek. Can you imagine the temptation of Noah just to open the window a little bit and look out? Oh, come on, somebody. Losing track of all time and not knowing. Hallelujah. You see, when we're in a place, amen, where it seems that darkness is prevailing, and we're in that place of poorness where we know, amen, that the circumstances and the things around us are utter chaos. Sometimes we want to have a sneak peek. Amen. We're tempted, amen, to do our own thing. But he that waits upon the Lord, it will renew your strength. When you run, you won't get weary. And when you walk, you won't fall down. Hallelujah. You'll mount up on the wings of an eagle. And you will soar over top of all of the circumstances. Wait, I say wait on the Lord. I don't know who he's talking to today. But I've come to remind you. It's not about you. Come on. But when he waited 7 days and he sent her out a third time, this time she didn't come back. Noah understood something. When she didn't return, he understood that the earth became a place where gentle life could finally dwell. It was not just a place of survival. It was just not enough to survive, but restoration had come. So the raven and the dove are opposing symbols. They serve purposes, different purposes for this narrative. See, the raven showed that judgment was ceasing enough for endurance. But the dove showed that judgment was giving way. Look at that message. Do you hear me about that? With your hand, please. The dove showed God, Noah, that judgment giving way to renewal. The ravens showed that judgment was easing just enough that you could survive, that you could endure. But that dove was telling us that the purpose of judgment was to bring renewal and restoration. See, that's why we have to understand that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be talked about in comparison to the glory that is going to be revealed to us in the future. We can't see out the window. We don't understand the purpose for the chaos. But we understand. See, one marked survival, the other marked restoration. Can I tell you that a world can still sustain life and not be ready for new beginnings? I said, a world, can I say, your world, your life, can still sustain living, surviving, but not be ready for new beginnings. We have to recognize the difference. Because you see, the dove bringing the olive leave takes us to Matthew 3:16. Remember when Jesus was taken into the Jordan and he was being baptized by John? What happened? A dove descended on Jesus. We know that it was the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. So now when you are a Jew and you see this happen, you understand that the writings of the old, what we know as the Old Testament of the Pentateuch, they understood that. So when they saw that dove descend upon Jesus, they had to think about the dove in the story of the flood. And the heavens opened, remember, and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I'm getting to my point this morning. Because in both of these scenes, the dove doesn't appear in chaos. You hear me? In both of these scenes, the dove doesn't appear in chaos, but it appears at the threshold of something new.
Amen.
Now, to my point, to bring a finish to where we started. See, for Noah, it was the signal, it was the sign that the earth was beginning to live again. And as he stepped out the door of the ark, the world that he stepped out of and crossed that threshold of the ark into the ark was a way different world than when he opened the door again and crossed the same threshold out of the ark into a new world. That threshold, amen, became a place of something new. So for Noah, it was a sign. The dove was a sign that the earth was beginning to live again. In Jesus' baptism, it marked the beginning of God's work of renewal through Jesus. So when Jesus came to be baptized, God was saying, here comes that dove. Amen. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Amen. And it rested upon Jesus, assuming his shoulder. Amen. Resting upon him. And then the heavens opened and the voice of the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am very pleased. Amen. Now, amen, this marks the beginning of God's plan of renewal for mankind. For what sin had done and separated man's ability to be in relationship with the Father Creator, Jesus now came, amen, and it was at the threshold, right that moment, amen, was the threshold of a new beginning. And after that moment in Genesis, the dove was sent out once more, and it didn't return. Why? Because the work of restoration had begun. Amen. But its completion was going to take time. See, we always want to move the will of God along. And you see, what you don't understand is when you pray, God, just let your will be done. This is why we get put into seasons of wilderness. This is why you get put into places of testing. Because this is what reveals the truth of God's will in your life. So as much as you don't like it, God is listening to your cry. He is granting your request, because in order for you to become more humble and submitted to the perfect will of God, there must be testing and there must be, amen, times when chaos, amen, and everything is in disarray and you don't know what to do other than trust Him and believe. Are you hearing me? But when you are at that place, you see Christ came and the Spirit was given, and there new creation began. Man didn't see it, but the kingdom of darkness understood that there was coming. Oh, you got to hear me. Hallelujah. They understood that the prophetic word that God gave to the serpent in the garden, that there will be a seed war, that there will be a seed that comes from the woman that will, amen, crush your head. You'll bruise his heel, but in the end, you, amen, will be defeated. See, there's a difference in a crushing and a bruise. A bruise will heal, but a bruise is a sign that there's life. A crushing means it's finished and it's over. But he will crush your head and it'll bruise his heel. But by his bruises, we are healed. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the moment that the voice of the Creator, might I add, one that the powers of darkness recognize, they heard plenty of conversations with the Father. They recognized his voice. They heard the prophecies. They understood well a coming Messiah who would bring redemption. So when they saw this and they heard this, they knew this is it. Luciferian imps in the kingdom of darkness, they know they can't kill God. They know that is pointless. So what they set out to do is to distract us who God has created to be in relationship with Him. They don't like it when we understand our sonship. They don't like it when we understand our familial connection with the Father Creator, the Most High God. They don't like it when we have understanding of this. So they know they don't have to defeat us. If they can get us to just participate in all of the chaos and the dysfunction, then every moment that it separates us from a full loving relationship with the Most High God, then they are successfully delaying their destruction. They don't fear your get behind me, devil, in the name of Jesus. They fear their destruction because they know that ultimately, when it is all said and done, that they are going to be a man destroyed and obliterated. This is why when Jesus went down into Sheol, when he rose up out of that grave, he went down into Sheol to those spirits who had been bound years and generations prior for their destruction of humanity. He went down and he preached to them. And he said, see here, I now have the keys to death and hell. You do not have the dominion anymore. Oh, you've got authority, but I have access to somebody. Better help me. That's why Jesus said, I, this same authority, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. We preached it last week. And I give you the authority to operate in my name. And in my name, you'll cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Hell does not fear our theological debates and our certificates of completion. They fear when we know we have authority to operate in the realm of the supernatural. We can hear that same voice that Jesus heard. My son. And we can obey him. And we can surrender our will and yield to his plan and purpose. Even when it don't feel good. It don't look right. It don't sound right. It don't make sense. But it's his will. Are you hearing me? The completion of this restoration that began when the dove failed to return to the ark, and when the Holy Spirit came and descended upon Jesus at his baptism, the restoration. See, listen, Linda. That's why. You know why demons tremble at that name? Because they understand the authority of that name. They don't know it, but they understand He's the remedy. Because dude, when he, sorry, brothers and sisters, children of God, dude, bro, when they saw Jesus show up in Sheol, we thought you were dead. Because see, the resurrection was the key to that authority and that power and that dominion. This is why the Apostle Paul talked so much about it in his writings. That's why he said, if you believe that the resurrection was not true, you believe nothing. Because the resurrection is the seal. Are you hearing me? That's why death has no power over children of God. Because we have dunamis resurrection power inside of us. That when we die, we're not losing anything, but we are gaining. Are you hearing me? The promise that was given to us when Jesus said, I have to go away, but I'll come back again. When all that he did, I am the resurrection and the life. We have. That's why when you can get as a child of God, help me, Jesus. Why am I saying this? But when you can get your life surrendered and your heart yielded to the will of God, and you are no longer afraid to die, God's got your heart. God has got your heart to where death does not scare you. Come on, somebody. I don't know why I said that. I don't know who it's for. But see, we understand it. And we experience that authority. They know that that's why they tremble. But they haven't experienced it like us. That's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. See, Jesus came, and the Spirit was given, and then new creation began. But the story isn't finished. It ain't over yet. So somebody can tell them it's not over yet. See, as Noah was watching and waiting after the dove's final flight, you get it? You get it. After the dove's final flight, you hear me? Noah was waiting and watching. Is he going to come back? Is he going to return? If he doesn't return, that means that we can cross, amen, into a new life. Are you understanding me? So he was waiting and watching. Can you imagine the anticipation as he waited and watched to see if the dove was going to come back a third time? See, we still watch and wait for Christ's return and the full healing of the world. The world creation groans and cries out. That's why I believe there's so many earthquakes and different things happening. But it cries out. Amen. Praise God. They're still waiting and watching. But we can learn from Genesis 8 to recognize, amen, beginnings without mistaking them for completion. See, because we can get to a place in survival mode, where we think that it is a completion. But I come this morning to talk to someone who is standing at a threshold. And the enemy will want you to think that it is the end. It is the completion of something. But I come to tell you that we have to trust God. Amen. Who patiently shows signs of renewal. We have to understand that if you are standing at a threshold, it is, amen, a witness of something new coming, a renewal, a restoration. You see, there was a time when man was too common and couldn't cross the threshold into the sacred place and presence of God. But now Jesus is here, and he became that threshold, and he said, come on over, cross on over. All that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now we can go into the very presence of the same Most High that said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So we gotta understand that on this side of the threshold, it becomes common. The old. But when you step over into, or you cross the threshold, see that threshold, the pain threshold, you get to a place of limitation. Are you hearing me? But we have to trust God, who will also, in his time, bring it to fulfillment. In his time, not our time, but in his time. See, thresholds in life are God's way of getting us to cross over into deeper consecration to his will. We can stand on this side of the threshold, and like the raven, the world, it is enough that he could survive, he could endure. Help me. Let me help you this time. Discernment. I should say. See, sometimes we endure things that are not part of God's plan, because we stay in a survival mode. But God will take us to a threshold, and he will say, cross over. And as you cross over, you leave behind what was. Are you with me today? See, the raven didn't go back there because he knew he could endure. It was enough for him to survive. But that wasn't enough for the dove. The dove needed a place to rest. Needed specific things to bring her life. So those thresholds in life are God's way of getting us across over into deeper consecration to his will. It sets a limit to how much the enemy can accomplish.
Amen.
Come on. Are you with me? I said it sets a limit. We sang this morning what the enemy meant for harm. God turned it and made it for good. What he thought was going to make me compromise only pushed me to step into deeper of the fire. Are you here? you are in, on this side of the threshold in survival mode. It's not that there's not life there. Are you hearing me? But there's not renewal there. There's not restoration. See, it sets a limit. That threshold sets a limit to how much the enemy can accomplish before God takes over and uses it to grow us. How many times have we said, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. God's like, don't take it. Don't take it. Lean not upon your own understanding, but trust in me. My yoke is easy. My burden is not heavy. Are you hearing me? If it's too heavy, we're not surrendering it completely to God. That's simple. We talked on Thursday night about the word. The word is sharp, powerful, quick. Divides the center of the soul and the spirit. It reveals the whole you. Your divides the soul, which is the fleshly part of you. It divides that from the spirit. So the word gives us two choices, the flesh or the spirit. Then it says that it goes even down into the marrow of the bones and cuts. Now it's getting to the real you and I. The very thing that drives us, the very thing that we have passion for, the very thing that pushes us, the word is now dividing that. And we have two choices, flesh or spirit. My will, God's will. There's the threshold. The word sets the threshold. We have to cross over. We said it a couple weeks ago about the door. We pray, God, open the door. If you want me to go through that, open the door. If we would listen and hear the voice of God as he's speaking always, he will tell us whether or not to open the door ourselves or to close it ourselves instead of waiting on a bolt of thunder or a great deep prophetic word to say, yay, God's into you. Open the door.
Right.
Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. God created us to have that relationship with him that we can hear him, talk to him, even about the common things of life, and get his permission and his plan. Are you hearing me? We have to trust him. So you may be in the season this morning that you're standing at a threshold. Genesis 8 was the purpose saying from this pea brain of mine when I was looking into this context of thresholds as God was laid it upon my heart. But you may be in the season, I believe, there's some folks in the season this morning here today where you're standing at a threshold. God wants to transition you into something new. See, on this side of the threshold, we've experienced all the glory we're going to. So we keep going back to the old glory. Are you with me?
Am I making sense?
When the word says we go from glory to glory, what does his glory reveals? His character, his purpose. And we stand on this side of the threshold. It doesn't mean you're dead. That doesn't mean you're in life. But God didn't create you just to endure. Now, I'm not about to blab it, grab it, name it, claim it, all that mess. Hopefully we're delivered from all that stuff. But why do we keep reliving old glory moments? When on this side of the threshold, there's new glory to be revealed. There's deeper revelation of who He is to be revealed. Can I tell you that when we stand and we don't cross the threshold that God sets before us, we will often hinder and delay the plan of God for our lives? Are you hearing me? God wants to transition you into something new. It doesn't always mean that what's behind you was bad or wrong. It's just that He's not finished yet. It's not enough. It's not complete. There are things missing to complete His will for your life. I hope you're hearing Him today. Being in that place is not judgment. It's renewal. It's a transition into fresh glory and new glory. And when we step into or over the threshold, who knows what waits on the other side? Standing at a threshold. See that olive leaf was enough to let no one know something has shifted. And I will tell you that I believe something has shifted in your life. And it's just standing at this threshold. Enough that the earth can sustain life, but God is about restoration. He's about renewal. So you're standing at a threshold today as they come to the music. We've preached before, nothing wrong in that context of being in the ark, being in that place of safety, Jesus being the ark, and being there until the Lord comes to receive us. But sometimes we can get too comfortable in the ark. We can get in that survival mode to where life is sustained, but it's not complete and it's not finished. So as they get ready to worship, you stand with me across this house. I believe the Lord is bidding some people who are standing at a threshold. Maybe you become comfortable, content But God is, as you stand at the threshold. Stand with me across the place. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, He's the threshold you're standing at this morning.